Immortal, born of woman, few of days and full of trouble, comes up like a flower and withers, flees like a shadow and does not last. Do you fix your eyes on such a one? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This book of Job with which the Holy Saturday service begins today is an archaic, almost arcane poetic text. The Hebrew vocabulary and phrasing that the author of Job uses is so obscure at times, its meaning so unclear, that biblical scholars devote whole careers to trying to understand every word of the book. They plunge into the depths of comparative philology and linguistics of Northwest Semitic languages. They dig through Babylonian and Ugaritic inscriptions to try to understand what does this word mean that only occurs once. And they fall short. Ironically, though, the book as a whole is a pretty simple one. And of all the books in the Bible, you might say that it's among the most modern in its concerns. The book of Job opens with this short fable about Job's misfortune and suffering, and closes with a kind of happily ever after tale in which all things are kind of made right for Job. And then in between, we get something completely different. Dozens and dozens and dozens of chapters of poetry, of angst and yearning and questioning, like the reading with which we began the service, verse after verse in which Job cries out to God, begging for an explanation and listening to the less than helpful speeches of his friends in response. There's hope for a tree, Job says. If it's cut down, it can sprout again. And Job is right, of course. Actually, right now, if you walk over Bunker Hill to the other side of the Doherty playground, you can find a 4-foot-wide stump that Murray calls the troll in Ghostland. It's wizened and mossy and gnarled and rotten. It looks exactly like you'd expect a stump to look. And this spring, out of the center of it, there's a little sprout coming up, because trees do that. I don't know why. Michael could probably explain. There's hope for a tree, Job says, but mortals die and are laid low. Humans expire, and where are they? We have all seen perennials coming up year after year. Even after the frost we had last week, there are flowers blooming now everywhere. We've all seen shoots growing out of the stump of the tree, and it's an amazing sight. I remember the first time I saw that in our backyard when I was a kid. But we do not see human beings rising from the dead in that same way. On Holy Saturday, we read these words of Job at a service that serves as Jesus' funeral. This short service right now has none of the pomp and parades of Palm Sunday. It has none of the agony and suffering of Good Friday. We don't get the candlelight and chanting of the Easter Vigil, or the bells and fancy hats and crowds of Easter Sunday. Instead, we lay Jesus to rest. We hear the gospel story of his burial in the tomb, and we offer prayers taken from our own burial services, the same prayers that could be said at a funeral service for you and I, stand in this morning for the prayers of the people in this service, as we pray them for Jesus. On Holy Saturday, right now, Jesus' body rests in the tomb, and we rest too, waiting for something to happen. Waiting for God to answer Job's questions out of the whirlwind. Waiting for God to answer us. Because Job's questions, however archaic and arcane their Hebrew may be, are very modern questions. Often in human life, these are questions that we share. Why, God, are things not the way that they ought to be? Why do the people we love become sick and die long before they reach old age? Why are bombs still falling all around the world? Mortal human beings like us suffer in a thousand ways, large and small, and then we die. In medieval times, we might have wondered where to put the blame. We might have assumed that God must be punishing us. And many people do still sometimes think this way, of course. But by and large, the question modern people ask is more like Job's. Do you fix your eyes on such a one, God? In other words, I think many modern people are less worried about the idea that God might be punishing them, and more by the question of whether there's a God at all. Do you fix your eyes on mortals? Is there a God who cares and who watches? Or is the universe, after all, nothing but atoms and void? And the almost unbelievable good news of the Christian faith is that God's answer to Job's question, "Do you fix your eyes on such a one?" is yes, and so much more than that. God is keeping an eye on us, we believe. God does care for us. And it's not just God's eyes that are on us, it's God's whole self who became one of us. God cared for us so much as to become human and to suffer like a human and to die like a human so that God might somehow make us like those trees from which new life can grow long after they're reduced to stumps. And when we read these words of mourning and despair from Job on Holy Saturday, there's a kind of dramatic irony in them. We know something Job doesn't know when he asks his questions. And it's that despite all the suffering and disappointment of life in this world, Job does not need to give in to despair, because the answer is yes. God is not in some far-off, uncaring part of the universe with God's eyes averted from us. God is here with us, suffering too, dying too. And God is here now, today, on Holy Saturday, transforming that suffering and death into something new, so that just as Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise again as well. On Holy Saturday, of course, we aren't quite there yet. Holy Saturday is still a day of stumps. But even now, that hidden work of transformation is beginning. On the one hand, Christ is resting in the grave. On the other, as the first letter of Peter tells us, Christ is proclaiming the gospel even to the dead. We can't see it or hear it, but it's what our tradition calls the harrowing of hell, the moment when Jesus, after his death, goes to be among the souls of the dead, to share the good news of the resurrection with them even before we can hear it. That moment when it seems that all is lost, when it seems that Jesus has been locked away forever, he is in another place, working in a way that we cannot see or imagine. I think in so many ways we live in a Holy Saturday world, a world from which God seems to have gone missing, a world of grief and loss and mourning. But even now, in our world, that hidden work of Easter is beginning beneath the surface. Even now, Christ is bringing forth new life from the deepest, darkest places in our lives. Even now, something might be going on in you, in the darkest places in your life, something that you cannot yet imagine, and yet will make everything new. You cannot see it yet. None of us can. But somewhere, in the place you'd last expect it, maybe even in the sealed-off tomb, in the place from which you thought nothing could ever come. Some new life is even now being prepared for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.